Hi, good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. And, yeah, hope everybody is doing well. Our phone number and text number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You can also check us out on Twitter, at Nick D Show. But the best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nick D Show. It is Monday morning, so that means in a little bit my dad will be calling in to tell a joke, because it's a jokey time. So tomorrow is the 4th of July, we have some facts, some things that you might not know about the 4th of July. Now, Esmeralda, for instance, did you know that the Declaration wasn't signed on July 4th or even in July at all?
I think I knew that.
Uh-huh.
There was something yesterday because Dave Plyer has this day in history.
Oh, he does this day in history. I see.
Right. So we had taken over that. Mm. And I think there was something.
Well, here's what it might make for an iconic painting, but that famous image of the founding fathers and Continental Congress huddled together presenting the first draft of the Declaration of Independence for July 4th, 1776, the signing, isn't quite how things really went down. As famed historian David McCullough wrote, no such scene with all the delegates present ever occurred in Philadelphia. Early printed copies of the Declaration were signed by John Hancock and Secretary Charles Thompson to be given to military officers and various political committees, but the bulk of the other 54 men signed an official, engrossed, finalized, and larger print copy on August 2nd, with others to follow a later date. Hancock boldly signed his name again on the updated version. So Hancock's signature is on there twice?
No, well, it's like the
first, second version he signed. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Got it. today's celebrations weren't much different. The first celebrations weren't much different than today's. After years of pent-up frustration, the colonies let loose upon hearing the words of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. Military personnel and civilians in the Bowling Green section of Manhattan tore down a statue of King George III, later melted it into bullets. The king's coat of arms was used as kindling for a bonfire in Philadelphia. Independence Day celebrations began to look a bit more familiar the following year, as the July 18th, 1777 issue of the Virginia Gazette described the July 4th celebration in Philadelphia. The evening was closed with the ringing of bells, and at night there was a grand exhibition of fireworks, which began and concluded with 13 rockets on the commons, and the city was beautifully illuminated. Everything was conducted with the greatest order and decorum in the face of joy and gladness. It was universal. And now guys stick M80s into watermelons and watch them explode. That's a put a half a stick of dynamite in a garbage can and watch the garbage can explode and the lid fly 50 feet into the air. Another good one is how guys celebrate by taking like a half a stick of dynamite and seeing how many streetlights they can knock out with it. And then getting drunk and blowing half of their fingers off while they're setting off car alarms with the explosives. That's what the 4th of July is about now. Oh, man. Esmeralda, you've lived in Albany Park for how long? How many years have you lived in Albany Park?
A few years now.
Yeah. It's fun, isn't it? On the 4th of July, it's a blast.
I'm usually not home.
Oh, all right.
So I don't even, but, you know, when I go to friends' houses, like this weekend, it was a lot of stuff. A lot of fireworks that were, you would see light and then hear a big boom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There was, years ago, my parents had a family friends that lived in Stickney, and we would go out to their house and they lived, everybody kind of knew each other in the neighborhood, and they all just kind of would all get together and pool their fireworks and blow stuff up for about 4 hours. And like I said before, there was this guy on the block who would blow out two streetlights at once. And this was like It wasn't in the city, so it wasn't like there were a ton of streetlights. So this guy would come out like a half stick of dynamite, boom, and then all the two streetlights would go out. It would be dark. And then, they would light off more fireworks because it was like you didn't have to worry about you know, you could see the fireworks better if they blew out the streetlights. You can see the stuff blowing up in the sky better. But then, you know, the streetlights would eventually come back on. They would power back on very slowly and start to slowly light up more. Then he'd come out with a half a stick of dynamite, boom, and then knock the streetlights out again. That would happen 7-8 times a night.
I have a friend right now, and the fireworks were spooking me. But I would look over to her, and she's pregnant. She's like over a week late or whatever. So I was hoping the fireworks would scare that baby out of her.
Oh, is that what they're hoping for?
I was hoping, but I would look over, and she'd be like, whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't care. Just so, Dan, you mentioned earlier you're going to take the family, hopefully, to a fireworks display. Has there been any fireworks in your neighborhood already?
Yeah, there's been. Ours started intermittently about 2 weeks ago, and then last night it was pretty consistent for 6 or 7 hours.
Was Emily awoke by it at all?
Emily's a pretty heavy sleeper, thankfully.
Yeah.
When she was just born, I still shoot my neighbor the dirtiest look because the neighbor kitty corner to us across the alley, he tends to set some off, and I had just gotten her to sleep,
man.
And like this was first baby, you know, a month and a half in, everybody's sleep deprived, and like he set off this M80 and woke her back up. But ever since then, she's been pretty good with it.
What about, is Olivia aware?
She has not. What we have a sound machine in Emily's room, and because the monitor is in our room, the sound machine comes through the monitor.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So we're getting it, and so I think that's helping to distract her a little bit.
Okay.
Have you beat up that neighbor?
I shoot him the dirtiest looks all the time. I'm just like, come on, man. You know, I'm like, it was a year, two years ago now. But
yeah, that's jerky. Yeah. Esmeralda, how does it affect Smokey at all?
Yeah, she don't care.
Doesn't care.
Yeah, she doesn't care. Thunder, lightning, all that stuff. Every once in a while, she'll perk her ears up, but then just go back to being mean and angry.
Yeah. The history of my cats have freaked out. When Heather and I were living in Albany Park, when I was living in Albany Park, that was the most blown up stuff consistently for the 3 years that I lived in Albany Park. You know, it was loud in all the other places that I've lived, but in Albany Park, for some reason, it was just insane.
Yeah, so my cat doesn't care, but the dog I had growing up, he would have a freak out, and the poor thing would be shivering and like just scared. One time we went away the night of 4th of July. We come back, he had chewed up the frame of the basement door because we put him in the basement to like hang out down there.
Man.
He just chewed up the hole. He was known to chew stuff up, but he really just freaked out.
Well, they freak out. A lot of animals freak out, man. And that's what do they call them? The thunder?
Thunder shirt?
Thunder shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that those help, you know, but yeah, I mean, that's just.
Somebody's got to invent little earplugs for dogs and cats.
Little earplugs? All right.
Yeah. Okay. Or some sort of sound machine room.
Yeah.
Something that they don't realize.
Yeah. So anyway. All right. We're talking a little bit more about some things that you might not know about the 4th of July. Coming up right here on WGN. We got a break here for weather and traffic. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. And my dad will be calling in to tell a jokey joke. That's coming up. And we're talking about things that you might not have known about the 4th of July. And Esmeralda, are you aware that eating salmon on the 4th is a tradition in New England?
Isn't that all they do?
Yeah.
Just eat salmon all day?
All day, nothing but salmon.
Seafood.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't.
The tradition of eating salmon on the 4th of July began in New England as kind of a coincidence. It just so happened that during the middle of the summer, salmon was in abundance in rivers throughout the region. So it was a common sight on tables at the time to serve salmon the traditional New England way. You have to pair it with some green peas. If you're really striving for 18th century authenticity, Enjoy the whole meal with some turtle soup, like John and Abigail Adams supposedly did on their first 4th of July. You ever have turtle soup, Esmeralda?
No, but I watched that America's Test Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
They did a recreation of recipes from whatever year.
Yeah.
And I think they had turtle soup and they had to kind of recreate it. And I don't even think when it was turtle soup. It might not have been turtle. Or turtle was the substitute for something fancier or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the history of turtle soup. I've had turtle soup and it's really good.
Like real? It's
yeah,
real
like a turtle. Yeah, like real turtle soup. Yeah.
I think they have it at the Taste every year. That's where I had it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They used to have it at the Taste all the time. What are you doing eating soup?
Was it cold soup?
I'm like, what am I going to turn down turtle soup? Just yeah. It's hot. I'm going to try it. Let it cool down.
And then you tried it.
Yeah.
I like it. They used to have it. You're right. It's at the they had it at the Taste every year. I can't remember what was the restaurant? And they were the only, if I'm not mistaken, you had to go to that tent to get turtle soup. It was the only place that, at the entire Taste, it was the only place where you can get turtle soup. I can't remember the name of the restaurant, but we used to get it every year. Anybody remember what the name of the restaurant was?
Oh, no idea.
312-981-7200, talk and text.
No, so the thing I saw, they made it with a calf's head because they couldn't find a turtle.
Is a calf's head...
It's supposed to be cheaper.
Is it cheap, but it's also similar in terms of taste and texture?
Apparently.
A calf's head?
Yeah. I guess the way you make it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We'll have to bring you some, because I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I mean, I think it's good. I used to eat it, I used to eat it at the Taste every year.
Was it like a stew?
It's
a broth?
No, it's just broth, and there's like meat in it.
Right. But is it, you know.
What do you mean?
Is like, there like noodles or
no? There's no noodles. It's just
Is it a clear broth?
No. It's brown, if I remember correctly, dark brown. And it's not like it's a thick broth. So it's a thick soup. So, or at least the way it was, the way it was presented by this restaurant at the Taste. That's what. Then I don't know if, and again, I don't know if that's. You know, accurate in what you're supposed to have as turtle, because I don't know the history of how turtle soup is supposed to look or taste, but that's how the stuff tasted and looked.
Is it Creole?
It's got kind of a, it's not really Creole.
So I'm looking at Wikipedia.
It's got kind of a tangy, there's a tang to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, it's good. It's got a very distinctive flavor. So... But yet that's what you're supposed to eat your salmon with, green peas and turtle soup.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Nothing says 4th of July, like salmon and turtle soup.
That's exactly right.
If you want to get the rim shot ready, I will first tell you that a lot of people are texting and that it was Binion's.
That's it.
That's it. The turtle soup. And
that's
then 708 said they'll have the turtle soup and to make it snappy.
Oh. All right. By the way, did my dad tell that joke? Because that's one of my dad's jokes. My dad has gone to that joke in the past. I don't know if he's told it on the air. But that snappy and make it snappy, that joke has come out of my dad's mouth several times over the years. Of course, it's a joke that's probably, 800 years old. My guess is John and Abigail Adams said it to each other.
According to that vignette we heard earlier, she was very witty. So.
She was. Massachusetts was the first state to recognize the holiday. That doesn't surprise. Does that surprise anybody? Massachusetts recognized the 4th of July as an official holiday on July 3rd, 1781, making it the first state to do so. It wasn't until June 28th, 1870, that Congress decided to start designating federal holidays, with the first four being New Year's Day, Independence Day, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. How about that? Those are also days when you should eat turtle soup. Yeah, Binion's was the name of the place. Good turtle soup. How about the oldest annual 4th of July celebration is held in Bristol, Rhode Island. 85 years before the 4th of July was even recognized as a federal holiday, one tradition began that continues to this day. Billed as America's oldest 4th of July celebration, the town of Bristol, Rhode Island, has been doing Independence Day since 1785. The festivities began just 2 years after the Revolutionary War ended, and 2017 will be its 232nd entry. Over the years, the whole thing has expanded well beyond July 4th. The town of 23,000 residents now begins to celebrate the United States on Flag Day, June 14th, all the way through the 2.5-mile July 4th parade. So that's like 3 weeks worth of celebration. Do they blow stuff up for 3 weeks? I don't understand. And the shortest parade, that's a 2.5-mile parade. But the shortest parade is in Aptos, California. From the oldest to the shortest, the 4th of July parade in Aptos, California, is just a hair over a half a mile long. Taking up just two city blocks and measuring just 0.6 miles, this brief bit of patriotism features antique cars, decorated trucks, and plenty of walkers. Afterward, there's a party in the park where folks can enjoy live music, food, and games. Yeah. Nice short parade. How big is the town? Just takes up two city blocks. It must be a small town. There are 15,000 Independence Day fireworks celebration every year. According to the American Pyrotechnics Association, there's an American Pyrotechnics Association? Around 15,000 fireworks displays will take place for the 4th of July holiday, even if some aren't exactly on July 4th. Though pricing varies, most small towns spend anywhere from $8,000 to $15,000 for a fireworks display, with larger cities going into the millions, like the Boston Pops Fireworks Spectacular at around $2.5 million. $2.5 million for something that's going to last 20 minutes? Wow. All right. Boston's got some money to burn. Literally. See, because it's fireworks. See? It's fireworks. Make it snappy. All right. We have to take a break. We have the we have the news coming up, and then we'll talk more about some things you don't know about the 4th of July and some other patriotic topics. And then my dad's going to call in and tell a jokey time. All right. The news is coming up in 3 seconds. Well, hi. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? We're here until 5 a.m. And my dad's going to call in and tell a jokey time because it's Monday morning. We are off tomorrow, or at least I am, and so is Dan Chagru. But Esmeralda Leon and John Hansen will be filling in for us, and it's going to be great. So you should tune in, and I thank them for filling in. And then we'll be back on Wednesday to fill out the rest of the week. And on Thursday morning, I'm going to have a special show because Colin and Eric, the guys that you heard earlier this morning reviewing movies with me, are going to come down live in studio, and we are going to unveil our half-year best and worst lists of movies. If you can believe it, we are at the half-year mark already. We're 6 months in, so we are going to talk about the best and worst movies that we've seen so far this year at the halfway point. And that's always a fun show to do, so that'll be coming up. So stay tuned for that. All right. We are talking about things that you might not know about the 4th of July. And the 4th of July, obviously, is tomorrow. Looks like we're going to have some really good weather for the outdoor activities that are going to be taking place. So I hope everybody has a really great 4th. And I hope your weekend, your nice extended weekend, has been fun. But let's talk a little bit more about the 4th of July activities that you might not know. We will eat an obscene amount of hot dogs. Well, we talked about that Friday. And we talked about the insanity of and how much hot dogs we will consume. In July, by the way, is National Hot Dog Month. So we are in National Hot Dog Month. The 4th, around 150 million, to be more specific, that's how many hot dogs will be consumed by Americans on the 4th of July. according to the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council, whom we spoke to. He's the vice president. Eric was the vice president?
President.
He's the president. Oh, okay. That amount of dogs can stretch from Washington, D.C. to Los Angeles more than five times. How about that, Esmeralda? That's a lot of hot dogs.
That's a lot of dogs.
That's a lot. 2016, 70 of those dogs were scarfed down by Joey Chestnut.
Oh, yes.
Who won the annual Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Competition for the ninth time. I've had Joey Chestnut on the show.
Yeah.
He's a nut.
Is he a chestnut?
He is a chestnut. I've had a lot of competitive eaters on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you had, what's his name?
The famous Little Asian Dude?
No, he's from here.
Oh, yeah.
Owns Taco in a Bag.
Yeah, no, I've had him on. I've had him on several times. What's his name? Oh, man.
Bertoletti. Yeah. Pat Bertoletti.
Yeah, that's it. Yes.
I don't know his... I don't.
He's got a name.
Deep Dish.
Deep Dish, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Deep Dish.
They all have nicknames.
Yeah.
No, I've had him on several times, too. And, yeah.
I once asked him because when we would do You, Me, Them, Everybody, we had him on. And I was like, hey, me and my friend want to do a chicken wing eating contest. What do you suggest? Or, like, any tips for me? He's like, don't do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on.
Yeah. You mean, like, hot wings? Like
no, just regular old chicken wings.
But, like, for a contest where you eat the most, not the hottest.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it was a very lax contest we wanted to do.
Because, you know, when I would watch that that Adam Richman guy on the Mad versus Food.
Yes.
I would feel so bad for that guy. Because, I mean, you know.
Yeah, it was always, like, the hottest one.
The worst was he I can't remember. Because he did a lot of those I'm going to eat the hottest wings on the planet mm-hmm. challenges. But one of them was just, I felt so bad for him. I mean, he did it himself, so he don't have anybody to blame but
right.
himself. But, like, he's eating the wings, and then, like, his whole, he's crying, there's tears pouring down his face because it's so hot. And he's eating the wings, but he has to sit for 5 minutes afterwards with all of the sauce on his fingers and hands and face.
Oh, and it's probably burning.
Exactly. Oh, so that's the worst part. He went through the wings, and it was hard because they're really hot, and you can see him breathing, and he's crying. Ugh. But the 5 minutes where he had to sit, he couldn't drink any water.
Oh, well, water would have
been worse. Well, he couldn't drink any milk, although they had like a giant pitcher of milk on
it. Oh, no,
sitting there in front of him like, you can't drink this. And so he couldn't have any bread or drink milk or anything like that, the stuff that counter, you know, balances it.
It's just torture.
It is. It's complete torture. And he's sitting there like, and just at one point, like he in the voiceover, he's like, I just had to zone out and go to another world. So he closes his eyes and just starts to like meditate. He's got tons of sauce on his hands and fingers and all over his face.
Oh,
it was horrendous. And then, like, after when they finally, because he did it and they called time, congratulations, and he won like a t-shirt or something and a picture on the wall.
Of course, a t-shirt.
Yeah. And so he starts guzzling milk and he wipes his hands. He gets wet towel, he wipes his face, and he runs into the kitchen, into the back room, and sticks his face into the ice machine.
Oh, that probably felt really good. No, ours was a very lax competition we wanted to do.
Yeah.
It would be like a half hour where we would just sit and eat wings. It was more we just wanted to eat a
You just wanted to eat a bunch of wings, that's all. Now, let me ask you this. Are you a sloppy wing eater? Like, do you eat wings and just, like, your fingers are covered and your face?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you pick off the...
I can't do it.
What do you mean? What do you use?
I have
a fork?
No, I'll eat them, but I'll clean my hands off and my face off after every wing.
Do you daintily, do you fold your napkin into a square and then dab the corners of your mouth?
No, I just don't don't like food stuffs on my hands or face. I can't stand it.
Nobody likes that.
I go through like 800 napkins if I go to a fast food joint. You remember that episode? Do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Every once in a while.
Okay. There's an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Dan, do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
No, I've never seen an episode.
You've never seen an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I don't have the HBOs.
Okay. All right. God, that show is so awesome. It's coming back, too. But anyway, in it, Larry David goes to a fast food joint and starts to grab like a bunch of napkins. And they're like, hey, you can't take all those napkins.
Being very wasteful.
And no, not in my case or Larry David's case.
Do you use them fully?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I am really, when it comes to like any kind of food things on my hands or face, I got to get rid of it. I have to get it off my face and I have to get it off my fingers.
Jeez, how long does it take you to eat anything?
It could take
hands-on.
Years.
I mean,
it depends on what it is. I mean, if it's like a juicy burger and it goes all down my arm, it's going to take me a longer time to eat it.
Well, that you just lick up the.
No, I take a napkin and I wipe my arm. That's what I do.
Ah, come on!
I'm not an animal.
You're wasting burger juice. You got to catch it before it goes. You got to catch it when it's like wrist level.
Yeah,
because then it doesn't look so weird.
You mean like licking from your elbow up? Doesn't that would seem a little?
That's a bit much. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah. Dan has just got his hands over his face.
No, I'm just impressed. Can you get down to your elbow? Because there's the old adage that you cannot lick your own elbow.
I could when I took yoga,
but I have no way I could do it
you
now.
You can get close.
Lick your own elbow.
Well, no, I wouldn't. You know, I wouldn't let it just get all the way down there.
Yeah.
Because you see it going, oh, you see the dripping, and then you have to.
Welcome to Friday morning, by the way.
Yeah. Well, because also I don't want to put the burger down.
Right.
Because then it's going to, you know, it's going to explode.
Yeah.
Everything's going to fall out.
Where do you go to get your burgers?
I'm just saying, like, you have, when you're, because if it's that, like, where juice is dripping down your arm, you know it's just going to be a big mess when you try to pick it back up.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you just have to eat that.
I was watching the human garbage can, the tattooed human garbage can with the frosted tips Friday night. On the diners and the drive-ins and the dives, and I can't stand that guy, but I like the idea of the show, and I like the food.
Right, I don't like him.
I just don't like watch. He's an idiot, and I don't. You know, I think it's gross to watch this guy stuff his face.
Yeah,
his big fat face, and so. But I watch the show because I like to, like, if I don't travel very often, but maybe they have some, you know, he comes to Chicago. And
yeah, they do the Chicago ones. I've been to a few.
Yeah. You know, so I like to, and I like the show. I just don't like him. But he was eating, I mean, it was just, he was stuffing like a pizza in his face.
Oh, he doesn't take just like a bite.
No. He's going to do the haunch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Which is, I mean.
Idiot.
It's kind of useful. And certain
if you're a slob like Guy Fieri.
I'm sorry, we don't cover ourselves in napkins like you do.
Are you seriously? If I have an Italian beef, it's like 50 napkins.
Oh boy,
I'm not kidding, because I get it double dipped and I get the whole thing. So I mean, I'm gonna eat it, but I'm not kidding. I go through like a pile of napkins.
You should just buy a suit made of napkins.
I'm responsible for killing 53 trees every time I go to Portillo's. 53 trees die.
Man.
Did I ever tell you the story when I went across, I totally forgot about this. The McDonald's that used to be across the street in the Wrigley corridor there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. When I worked here on Saturdays, I would go across the street because my show started sometimes at 6, sometimes at 8 on Saturday evenings.
Right.
And I would always eat something across the street, you know, because it was there. It's like there's a McDonald's. It's the closest thing. I'm going to go across the street and get there. So I have not been to a McDonald's since I stopped doing my Saturday show, which is now 2.5 years, 2 years. So I haven't been to a McDonald's in like 2 years. But anyway, I would go in there, and it got to the point where, like many fast food places, they keep the napkins now behind the counter. A lot of fast food places keep it behind the counter because of people like me.
Yeah, they do.
Because I'll walk in and I'll take 60 pounds of napkins.
Oh,
so, you know, I go in there and I'm like, can I have just a few extra napkins? And they're like, yeah, all right. So they only gave me like 3, which was very disappointing to me. But I wasn't eating like anything crazy. It was like a burger or nuggets or something.
Right.
So the dude comes in and he he walks up and he goes, hey, can I get another napkin? And the guy behind the counter goes, we give you one napkin per item. And you bought one item, so we gave you one napkin. And he goes, but I got 2 lips.
Turn it over, man.
And I just, I busted out laughing, but I got 2 lips.
Were you just behind him like, yeah?
No, I was standing next to him because I was waiting for my food. And he came back because he was in the lobby eating.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back and he's like, can I get another napkin? Well, you ordered one item, so you get one napkin. But I got 2 lips.
You were just like, yeah, man.
That's right, man. I got 2 lips and 10 fingers, and that ain't enough. All right. We have to break here, and when we come back, my dad will tell a joke, and then we'll wrap up the 4th of July stuff here and talk about napkin waste that I'm responsible for.
Yeah, I think you'd probably fill this whole studio with the napkins you've used.
That's pretty ridiculous. Also, on the 4th of July, we'll spend billions on food. Americans will spend big on food and drinks this 4th, big to the tune of around $7.1 billion when all is said and done, according to the National Retail Federation. This includes food and other cookout expenses, averaging out to about $73 per person participating. $73 per person?
That makes sense.
Really?
I mean, because you're doing burgers and hot. And you know what? Depends how long are you over someone's house, because you
That's
eat more
true.
Than twice, more
That's
than
true.
Once.
So this average of $73 per person participating in a barbecue, outdoor cooknick, cookout, or picnic wine. The hell is picnic? Is that a special kind of wine? Picnic wine?
I've never heard of that. I'm curious now. Like, what's picnic wine?
I don't know. It just says picnic wine here. Does it
like
come in
picnic?
A basket?
Is it picnic as in P-I-C?
P-I-C-N-I-C wine.
Huh.
I've never heard of that before. I don't know. Three presidents have died and one was born on the 4th of July.
Yes, that I did know.
You knew this one. You probably know that both Thomas Jefferson and John Adams died on July 4th, 1826, 50 years to the day after the Declaration of Independence was adopted. Same day. But they're not the only presidents who have died on the 4th, though. James Monroe, the nation's fifth president, died a few years later, July 4th of 1831. Though the holiday might seem like it was out for it has it out for former presidents, there was one future leader that was born on Independence Day. The country's 30th commander-in-chief, Calvin Coolidge, mm-hmm. was born July 4th, 1872. All right. Let's see. 773 area code sends in a text.
Mm-hmm.
For 10 wings, I need 87 napkins. Person after my own heart right
goodness.
There.
I always ask for one.
No.
And I use it until it's a crumbly little piece of something.
You should see me.
And then I get another one.
You should see me when I go to smoke. It's ridiculous.
I'm telling you, you should get a napkin suit.
A napkin suit?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want it on me. I don't want the... If I'm wearing clothing that's made of napkins, that means like the sauce or the drippings are going to be on me. I don't want them on me.
Yeah, but then you can wash the suit.
I don't want to wash the suit. All right. Mary says, I am completely with you about using tons of napkins when I eat. I am not an animal either. Don't give in to pressure. Keep using as many napkins as you need. Thank you, Mary. It's time to fight for our independence.
Right.
As napkin users. You know, the thing about Gale Street mm-hmm. is that you could successfully eat a slab of ribs at Gale Street mm-hmm. without touching them.
Oh, right. Because, yeah, the
meat falls right off the bone.
Oh, now, question. How does it work when it's a cloth napkin? Do you ask for more than one napkin?
No. Obviously, just one cloth napkin.
Oh,
I'm not
right.
going to be that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be crazy. But
is
I will
it
ask.
Obvious?
I will ask for paper. I will ask for paper napkins.
Why would they have paper napkins?
Gale Street does. When you go to Gale Street, if you order ribs, they give you a stack of paper napkins. In addition to your cloth napkin.
I always feel bad dirtying up a cloth napkin.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh no, they have to wash this.
No,
now.
I know that's what because I you know the cloth napkins, and then like some you know like if I have to blow my nose, I'm clearly not going to do it into a cloth napkin. That was a bit they did in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, really? Well, and also you should probably just go to the bathroom.
No, that's what I do. If I have to blow my nose, I go to the bathroom. I'm not going to do it at the table into a cloth napkin and then laugh maniacally. While barbecue sauce is flat, getting slapped around.
Oh.
No, but they do. At Gale Street, they give you paper napkins and a wet nap afterwards, which I enjoy.
Yeah, I would think the wet nap.
Yeah, I enjoy the wet nap. Yeah. I do.
Do you need just one?
15 of them.
Oh.
But I got two lips. That's one of my favorite quotes of all time. I busted out. You ordered one item, so you get one napkin. But I got two lips. That's my response to anyone who says that I can't have another napkin. I got two lips, and I'm going to add 10 fingers. I got two lips and 10 fingers. I need 12 napkins right now.
One for each finger.
One for each finger and one for each lip.
Yeah.
That's right.
What about paper towel napkins?
What about?
Or if they give you a paper towel, because they're more absorbent.
Yeah.
You still need a bunch?
Sure.
Ugh.
Yeah. I don't play around, man.
Mm-hmm. So. I don't like this at all.
All right. Well, you don't have to. You can be a slob. All right. We have to break here and because the show's over. Did you know that? Mm. Hey, Esmeralda, you're hosting the show with John Hansen.
I am.
That's awesome.
Me and John Hansen.
Tomorrow, 2 a.m., make sure you tune in for your 4th of July show, and I'll be back Wednesday morning. Thank you, Esmeralda.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, and we'll be back for news in 8 seconds.